Well, we're going to go on to more metamodel patterns, and those that aren't here will have to catch up with that. So I attempted to make the same kind of chart over here for the next four patterns that I made for the first four. And some of these came out already as we were doing the little discussion up here. This is the one that you hear so much about, and I'll just tell you the name of it is Universal Quantifiers. And the easy way to think about it is universals. So it's where people are lumping way too many things all together. And again, you hear this in relationships so often. People will say, "You never help me. You never take the trash out. You're always critical of me." Yeah, I'm sure you guys have heard these before, yeah. Where it's, and they will say, "All men are da da da," or "All managers, you can." You can never trust any managers. So it's like a whole group and is being lumped together. And I heard somebody once say, "Everybody always rejects me." Now, what kind of internal pictures do you make when you say that? Everybody always rejects me. Do you have the whole world turning their face and going, "Yeah." And so when you say everybody, and you have to do it with curiosity, Sebastian, this is where the rapport becomes really, really critical. You go, "Everybody? You mean every single person in the world?" And I've put up here, exaggerate a bit, because that's what I do with these. If somebody says, "There's never been a time," I go, "Not once, not ever in your experience has there been a time that I helped you take out the trash?" And then that helps people recognize that they are thinking about it way too universally, way too large. So it's, again, it's words that lump, and people might say all women, all men, all managers, all children should be seen and not heard. They don't even say all, they just say children should. Well, then you go, okay, which children specifically? So here I put, to retrieve the information, you put question marks after it with curiosity. Not all? Come on, all? Everyone? I mean, that, again, is a break of rapport, and you won't get what you're looking for in that. Or you exaggerate it a bit by just pointing out that surely there's one person that has never done that to you. One person in the world. Okay, you got that category? It's really pretty easy. And then down here I've put two different modal operators. They're called MOs. Okay, one is necessity and one is impossibility. So don't worry about what modal operators mean. What this really means is you're putting unnecessary pressure on yourself somehow by saying, "I have to, I must, I should, I ought to." I didn't put that one up here. And you hear people say this all the time. And when you say that yourself, what you know is you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. And I heard somebody say once, "Stop shoulding on yourself. Enough people should on you as it is. Don't should on yourself." So, and again, what this is about is when you're thinking something is absolutely necessary, it has to happen, you create a lot of tension and lack of breathing in the chest when that's the way you're thinking about it. So, one way to question this is to say, what would happen if somebody says, "I have to," you might say, "What would happen if you didn't?" Or if they say, "I must," you say, "What would happen if you weren't thinking about it in that way. If they say, I should, say, what would happen if you didn't? Okay, so, you know, do you all see where that goes? You're getting the person to question, well, I should go visit Aunt Harriet every day after work because she's alone. Well, what would happen if you didn't? And then you get the person at least to think about what would be the consequences if I didn't feel that kind of pressure. So you're saying, what would happen if? Does that category make sense? And again, this is one you're going to love to listen to in your own language. Whenever you're finding yourself putting way too much pressure on yourself through your language. Then over here, so this is making things necessary. Over here is making things impossible. When somebody's saying, I can't, it's impossible. We can't do this. And you hear people say that all the time in business. When you come up with an idea, oh, we can't do that. And again, with curiosity, you might say, well, what would happen if we could? Or what would happen if we did? Wouldn't that be interesting? And if somebody's saying, can't, I can't, you say, what stops you? I can't do that. I can't stay here. Well, what stops you from staying here? Or what would happen if you didn't stay here? Okay? You've got a couple of choices there. Yes?
How would it, if you left, not using a negative affirmation?
Right, uh-huh. You're right.
Would be either the same.
Same thing.
Right.
Again, it doesn't matter how you ask it. Thank you. What you're doing is you're saying, how can we loosen up this tight model of the world that somebody is stuck with or that we're stuck with? If you think there's something you absolutely should do, well, it would be really interesting. If you didn't follow through with that, what would happen? Yeah, yeah.
Strategies
are the same for both of those. Whether it's somebody's, because they're both about putting a lot of unnecessary pressure on yourself. Okay, and getting somebody to realize that they typically wouldn't die, you know. What would happen if I didn't? Well, it wouldn't be the end of the world. And recognizing it might have some consequences, and if so, how would you deal with that? Yeah. And then the last category I put up here is called lost performative. The performer is missing, okay? Performer meaning who is making the statement. And these are those kind of judgment statements that we make.
I recognize those in myself. Mm-hmm. Remember that when I discussed something with someone and we disagreed and almost instinctively I was saying, oh wow, that's stupid, oh, that's wrong. And I was understanding because I have no more real argument, I just resorted to saying that because that killed everything.
Uh-huh.
But it's actually not a real argument.
Yeah.
But how do you, but that normally also comes in emotional situations where you're like,
oh yes. Oh,
yeah. How do you diffuse that? If someone says that, that's probably a red flag. Oh, this guy, this person's really, really emotional probably if they say something like this.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we just make those kind of statements without paying attention to what we're saying. The beauty of the meta model is it puts you into self-awareness. You start hearing the words that are coming out of your mouth, and I'll say something and I'll go, ooh, can't believe I heard that. I can't believe I said that. You start to catch yourself saying things out loud that you know are not useful. And what happens with this is where you're making judgments and you're not owning up that you're making judgments. That's a stupid idea. That's no good. Whoever thought that up, you know, but you're not saying, I think it's a stupid idea. Do you hear the difference? But it's like, so you're, it, again, it's an overgeneralization. Oh, the whole world thinks that's a stupid idea. God thinks that's a stupid idea. That's not good. According to whom? So one, you either say for whom or according to whom, but another way you can do it, but this requires rapport and gentleness is, who says that? You can't say, oh yeah, who says? You have to say, oh, who says that's not right? Who says that's stupid? But again, that one requires that you soften yourself to be able to deliver it, or somebody thinks you're being confronted. Yes. Okay, now, I don't know if you've noticed, but on none of these so far do we have why. Why not? Why did you ask that question?
Oh, because...
Thank you. You just demonstrated what people will do when you ask why.
Yeah.
They, yeah, explain or justify themselves.
But isn't that important?
Because well, it might make somebody else defensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with NLP, we often say, as often as you can, avoid why. Because so often, it brings back defensiveness on the other person's part. They think they have to stand up for themselves or rationalize why they did something. I mean, you know, your kid reaches out and spills his milk on the table, and you go, why'd you do that? Well, the kid has the honest answer. I don't know. Oh, well, Mom, my eye-hand coordination isn't developed in such a way. Because usually you're not asking why, you're saying, I don't like that. Mm-hmm.
I was coming from the situation, that I was imagining what you were just giving as an example. Someone says, that's stupid, and then I would say, who says that? In a very nice, gentle way. Uh-huh. And the person says, well, I'm saying that. And then I have to ask him, so why do you say that? At some point you might
So what about that makes you say,
you really avoid this
again, one. Yes, you really avoid the why whenever you can, because you're going to get back. And see, you didn't even think twice when I said, why did you ask that? You went, because that's what people do.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've all been trained very well by parents in society to justify our behaviors. Yeah.
Why also seems to be closely associated with content of what we're talking about. So we get to because this, and this.
And that's
and
not.
It takes you out of the process.
Thank you very much. Yes, it does. So it does take you out of the process and get you into content. Damon?
In sales, you want to avoid that for sure, because if somebody comes up with an objection and says, well, I don't want to buy this, and you say, why? Now you're asking them to ground in and defend that position, which makes their objection even stronger.
Right.
And they'll do the opposite. If somebody comes out and says, oh, I want to buy this, I'll say, why? So now they have to defend why they want to buy it, which makes them more compelled to buy what I'm selling.
Interesting turnabout. So these are all attempted to help us be more conscious and more aware ourselves about what we say. But especially if we're working with somebody else and somebody else makes a statement like that, to say, this is a Virginia Satir technique. She would go, you know, I'm really curious. What got you to say that? So you're not saying why. I'm really curious. You know, I just have this question inside me. And she would do it out of that curiosity. So instead of saying how specifically, she would say, oh, I just have this question inside of me about how that would work for you. And those are called softeners. And so once you start practicing with it, you might say, how can I soften the way I'm asking this question so that I'm not putting other people on the defensive? Your voice tone makes a huge difference. So this gets you to pay attention to your voice tone and how you're asking people questions. Yeah, really gets you to pay attention. Okay, questions about these four categories? You got him? Think you know how to do him? Well, let's go practice with him and find out. Do you have a question?
Well, yeah,
a comment. Sunny.
It's in our notes. I don't know if you've seen them or not, but.
Yes, I've been borrowing books.
Okay, under universal quantifiers, it says with each breath you can relax more deeply. And I was just confused if I was missing.
You're at the Milton Hall, not the Metha Hall.
Oh, right.
Okay.
That's coming.
But still, there's no universal quantifier. In
coming now.
Each
breath. That would be like every.
Oh, each and every.
With every.
Oh, okay. I was just always.
But that.
Every and. Sorry.
Don't look ahead, guys.
That's next.
Stay focused. No, we're going to do that this weekend. Yeah. Yeah.
So, lost performer, performative. That's when. Is that when like the person speaking kind of lost their identity, making judgments on themselves?
Well, they're making judgments. The loss. She's asking about the lost performative. You're making loaded statements.
Loaded statements.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That have judgments in them, but you're not owning that it's your idea. That you're not saying, I think that's stupid. You're going, that's stupid.
Okay.
That's dumb. Whoever thought that up wasn't very bright.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it usually comes in that kind of a voice tone, too.
All those people.
They are, aren't they all? Every single one of them. Yeah, and notice how it's different than this. It's different than this, where the who is missing. In that doesn't necessarily have judgment in it. So this is a more judgmental way that who's speaking, you don't know. The person is not owning up to, these are my feelings. They're just saying, oh, well, everybody knows. And they would say that too, Dave. They would add that in. Everybody knows that would be a stupid idea. Mm-hmm. Then you're combining. Okay, let's have you go practice and go play, and you can do what we did before, or you can just be generating sentences. So you go, okay, I'm gonna be the UQ, that's what we call that, UQ, or I'm gonna be the MO of necessity, I'm gonna be the MO of impossibility, or I get to be the judger, okay? And actually, if you generate too many of those lost performatives, you'll find yourself getting really tight inside because that's what it feels like. Okay, so the same way we did these, let's do these in like how about 4 minutes each instead of five? Okay, so we can finish up everything.
How exactly are you just having everybody's having a conversation?
Plan something.
Questioning it?
Right. No. So, okay. So if I say something that was a dumb idea and you hear it, you say, excuse me, I'm really curious. Are you thinking that's a dumb idea? Are you saying that's a dumb idea? And so you would question me if you notice that pattern, or if Aaron hears it, he might question it. Okay. So how exactly we're doing it is, this is play. There is no, first this person speaks and then that one asks a question and then this person speaks. It's the way you would have a normal conversation around the lunch table out there and things might get crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and somebody goes, you're saying you should be understanding these metamodel patterns better? Ooh, do you hear I added a whole bunch in there? And then you can ask about all of them. Okay, so it's four people having a conversation. If you want to take it back to, we're trying to plan something, an end of the practitioner party, you could be doing that. And because they'll come out in your language. All right, ready to go play? And 4 minutes each, so I'll ring the bell when it's time to switch. I want you all to practice generating them.